from Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org. I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, August 19th, 2025. Graham Plattner, a military veteran and oyster farmer today, announced that he's running as a Democrat to unseat Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins. Steve Missler has more.
Plattner kicked off his campaign with a video attacking a political system that he says works in service of the ultra-wealthy and is enabled by politicians like Collins, who he says is no different than other Republicans.
I'm not fooled by this fake charade of Collins' deliberations and moderation. The difference between Susan Collins and Ted Cruz is at least Ted Cruz is honest about selling us out and not giving a damn.
Collins is expected to seek her sixth term next year and is considered vulnerable by Democrats, who have yet to recruit a high-profile candidate. At age 40 and with no prior political experience, Plattner doesn't fit that description. However, his campaign could draw interest from Democratic primary voters while potentially complicating efforts by national Democrats to draft Governor Janet Mills to challenge Collins. Mills, who has at times seemed ambivalent about running, has said she has no timetable to make a decision. Plattner served three tours in Iraq as a Marine and another in Afghanistan with the Army National Guard. His campaign has scheduled a series of town hall events that begin in late September. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Town councilors in Gorham tonight will vote on a land agreement that could bring Amazon to southern Maine. The town has a proposal to sell 94 acres off Main Street to the online retailer. Amazon would pay $4 million to purchase the land. Amazon opened its first and only warehouse in Maine in Caribou over the summer. The facility serves as a shipping hub and is part of a broader effort by the company to expand delivery services to rural areas. Several years ago, Scarborough launched an unsuccessful bid to establish the former Scarborough Downs racetrack as the site for Amazon's second headquarters. ICE says an Old Orchard Beach police officer arrested last month has agreed to voluntarily leave the country, according to the Associated Press. An ICE representative told the AP on Monday that a judge had granted voluntary departure for John Luke Evans and that he could leave as soon as that day. The representative did not provide other details about Evans's case. ICE arrested Evans, originally from Jamaica, on July 25th in Biddeford, after he attempted to purchase a firearm to use in his job as a reserve police officer. ICE said Evans entered the country lawfully in 2023, but alleges he overstayed his visa. It's not yet clear when Evans will depart the U.S. or if he has already left. The American Academy of Pediatrics issued new vaccine recommendations today that depart from federal guidelines. As Patty White reports, pediatricians in Maine say the recommendations are based on science and ensure consistency for parents.
The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that children ages 6 months to 2 years get the COVID vaccine. That's in contrast to U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s announcement in May that the vaccine would no longer be recommended for healthy children. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control then changed its guidance to advise parents to consult with physicians. Dr. Laura Blaisdell of the Maine chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics says the decision to break from federal guidelines is unusual but necessary given the political rhetoric around vaccines.
So it's not very difficult for the American Academy of Pediatrics to do what we believe is right for kids.
The Maine CDC says it's reviewing the Academy's recommendations and discussing with other states how to handle changing federal guidelines. For now, the agency is advising health providers to follow the last official federal vaccine schedule recommendations issued in August of last year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Convenient MD is now offering primary care in addition to urgent care at its Bangor location, and Anthem patients will be part of its network. The announcement today comes on the heels of Northern Light Health's decision last week to end contract negotiations with Anthem. That means Northern Light will soon be out of Anthem's network unless the two entities come back to the bargaining table and reach an agreement. Kevin Kerwick, president of primary care at ConvenientMD, says they decided to expand after hearing from urgent care patients who say they have to wait months for primary care appointments.
And we expect to have five primary care providers in our Bangor location, which would be north of 6,000 patients that we can support at our Bangor office.
Kerwick says ConvenientMD is already looking to expand its primary clinics into more locations to meet demand. The for-profit has 11 locations in Maine, including a primary care clinic in Portland. Healthcare advocates are highlighting the importance of enhanced premium tax credits and the need to extend them. The tax credits will lower the amount spent on health insurance premiums for plans purchased on the marketplace. More than 54,000 Mainers receive the tax credits, which are set to expire at the end of the year. Lee Humphrey with Eastern Maine Development Corporation says healthcare costs are always a barrier for small businesses, and many are now concerned about the threat of higher premiums.
One of the things this tax credit actually does is provide some relief for people who really need it, and without it, I think their healthcare costs are going to double. And the people we serve throughout the state, and especially in the more rural areas, it's a real challenge just to get by.
CoverMe, Maine's health insurance marketplace, estimates that premiums in Aroostook and Washington counties could increase by 70% or more. Maine Trust for Local News Workers today filed a petition with the National Labor Relations Board to welcome nearly 50 additional members into their union. Maddie Smith attended the workers' rally outside the Portland Press Herald headquarters in South Portland.
Kendra Caruso, reporter at the Lewiston Sun-Journal, says unionized members make upwards of $10 more an hour than non-unionized workers. And she says those not represented have little influence over their work environment.
That changes today. Today we demand equal pay, equal respect, and the same job securities that our represented colleagues have. As one company, one union, and under one contract, we will hold the company accountable to its stated mission.
The unrepresented workers seeking to join are from the Sun-Journal, Brunswick Times-Record, and other weeklies in southern and western Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows is defending mail-in ballots and vote-counting machines in the face of efforts by President Donald Trump to bar both practices nationwide. Bellows says restricting absentee voting would impact seniors, people with disabilities, and the people who administer Maine elections.
Absentee voting actually makes it easier to conduct elections because it reduces long lines at the polls on election days, and it spreads out the work for our local election clerks.
Trump claimed yesterday that the U.S. is the only country that allows voting by mail, although the International Institute for Democracy and Electoral Assistance says there are dozens of nations that allow all voters to cast ballots by mail. 22 others permit some voters to mail in ballots. A 6 to 8 foot great white shark was reported about 200 yards off Ogunquit's Little Beach near the mouth of the river this morning, prompting lifeguards to post the cautionary yellow flag. Officials continue to monitor the area for any additional activity and ask that beachgoers follow posted advisories and check in with lifeguards with any questions. Last week, a large great white shark was spotted near Scarborough Beach State Park and Higgins Beach. Another shark sighting happened last week off Pine Point Beach. A new food truck popped up on State Road in West Bath last month, and it's quickly becoming a local institution. But for Dan Crocker, the man behind the griddle, this isn't life in the fast lane. It's a victory lap. As Nora Sachs reports, Crocker just retired from a career as a well-established chef in the world of global motorsports.
I'm going to do the two-dog meal.
Yeah. It's a sweltering weekday in August, and the hot dog days of summer are officially here.
How we doing, folks? You can just take your time. Take your time, and when you're ready, I'm ready.
It's barely noon, and showman Dan, whose given name is David Crocker, is firing on all cylinders. Inside his converted pop-up camper, Crocker is grilling and steaming red and brown hot dogs, flipping Texas toast grilled cheese, and loading fresh local lobster into buttery rolls, all while chatting up every customer like they're an old friend.
On the bottom of the bun.
That's where I do it. You don't want to get it all over that Patriot shirt.
No, I know.
Crocker launched Showman's Dogs in the Big Cheese about a month ago. And already, he's serving north of 200 hot dogs a day, 6 days a week. For customers Owen and Brady, who just finished a day of lobstering, this is a regular pit stop.
Can I get for you guys?
Can I get two chili cheese dogs?
I knew you were going to say that. You've been here before with chili cheese dogs.
Oh, we come here all the time, usually like once a week or so.
This long line of hot and hungry customers might intimidate a less seasoned grill master. But Crocker's used to high-octane environments.
I'm Showman Dan, and I'm the crew chef for Ganassi Racing, and we're at Bristol, baby.
In this online advertisement for Blackstone Griddles, Crocker is shown feeding a small army of professional race car drivers and their pit crew.
I usually do around 120 eggs. I'll do 100 sausage, 10 pounds of bacon, and I'll do French toast on the side, possibly with a full continental. And just as soon as I get that done...
Crocker has cooked for professional motorsports teams like Chip Ganassi Racing, and most recently, NASCAR team Trackhouse Racing. It's been a dream come true for a kid from Bath who loved the sport, and eventually made his way to Morrisville, North Carolina, a.k.a. Race City, USA, to be close to the action. He says he started at the bottom, driving trucks and hauling cars for the teams. And as a commercial trucker, he needed to get a nickname.
So I was doing a lot of shows for Ricky Carmichael, Kyle Larson, Justin Allgaier, a lot of the drivers. So it became Showman Dan. I come up with the Showman Dan.
Crew chefing for the 10-month racing season is a nonstop hustle. Before each race, Crocker would be flown to the track via private jet and start prepping the day's meals on site.
Get all my shopping done, set up my cart, and get rolling.
When the race was over, he'd pack up his traveling kitchen, put it on a truck, and fly to the next track.
Every week, 36 weeks, 38 events, all over the country.
Every year for 12 years. When he was ready to retire last year, 68-year-old Crocker knew he wanted to come back home to Bath, but stay busy.
We was busier yesterday, but we're getting there. It's starting to pick up.
Now his attention is focused on serving local customers, like Cindy, who's sampling a Red Snapper hot dog for the first time.
Casing is a little bit, crispier. Nice little bite to get in. Mm-hmm. But it's delicious.
Make them good. You got to love what you're doing. Otherwise, you just wouldn't be the same. Wouldn't even taste the same, believe it or not.
Showman Dan plans to close up shop in November, winter in Daytona, and open the stand back up next May.
Yeah, everything but ketchup on
it. Everything but ketchup. I gotcha.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, how Maine writers are tackling climate action. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.